Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Worship and sing a song of praise. Come into His house of joy sustained. Living on Every Word.
What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 and he looks for that lost one until he finds it? Don't you like that? He's going to look for you until he finds you. Just quit hiding from him. Some of you are hiding from him. And he's after you like the hound of heaven. And it's time, folks. It's time to be found by him.
Living on every word.
Living on every word.
When you go to John chapter 17, and I want you to turn there, John chapter 17, and we look at the prayer of Christ, we see a prayer that is not based on anything selfish. Although when you pray this prayer, you will see the spiritual blessing of God fulfilled in your life. We see something of God, we see something of His nature, we see something of the kingdom of God. And as I've been studying chapter 17 of John, I think John 17, 1 through 26 has it all. It has salvation. It has knowing Him. It has spiritual warfare. It has unity. It has the advancement of the kingdom of God where we are sent. It has the sanctifying work of God. It's how God is made known in our lives when we walk according to this word. When Jesus prayed, He prayed in verse 1, Lord, glorify Your Son for the only reason that the Son may glorify You. Are you glorifying God today? Are you glorifying His name? You call yourself Christian, you call yourself believer, but as you live this life, are you glorifying God today? Is that the intent of your heart? Is that the joy that springs up from your life to glorify Him? We saw a couple of weeks ago that we are not only are to pray, God be glorified in our lives like Jesus prayed, but we are also to pray, Lord, keep us in Your name. Verse 11, I'm no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to You, Holy Father, keep them in Your name, the name which You have given Me, that they may be one even as we are. There's a third element of this prayer that I believe that every one of us can pray. It's found in verse 13. I want you to notice what it is. But now I come to Thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have My joy made full in themselves. Notice, folks, it's not my joy. It's not what makes me happy that I'm praying. I am praying that the joy of God, the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, that which makes Him happy, that which makes Him joyful, will rest in my life. And not only rest in my life, in my marriage, and in my children, and my family, or in our church, but that it would be full up. It would be full up in our lives. The joy of God, not the joy of man. Not what makes you happy. It's what makes God happy. It's what makes Him joyful that we are pursuing in this prayer life. Because I want to tell you this. When you pray with that kind of motive, guess what happens? You become happy. You become joyful. Everything that you've ever looked for to fulfill your life, all of a sudden starts to happen. It starts to unfold as you pray as Christ prayed. Lord, be glorified. Lord, keep me in Your name. Preserve me in Your name. When I look at this next thought, I said, what is it that makes Christ happy? What is it that makes Him joyful? There's two things here. The first is that I want us to look at in Luke chapter 15 is when one sinner repents. Luke chapter 15. Go on and turn there. And as you look at this passage of Scripture, notice it's a series of three parables, and it all speaks to the same. You have the parable of the lost sheep in verses 1 through 7, 8 through 10 is the parable of the lost coin, and then 11 through 32 is the prodigal son, the lost son who's returned. And the whole point of this passage of Scripture is this is what makes God happy. This is what brings joy to the kingdom of God. The question that we're going to ask today is, are we lining up our joy with the same thing that makes God happy? What makes you happy, folks? What brings you joy? Notice, all the tax gatherers, all the sinners were coming near to Him to listen to Him. And both the Pharisees and the scribes, they began to grumble, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Oh, yeah. Aren't you glad that Jesus ate with sinners? Oh, my word, I'm so glad. He'd have gone hungry. He ate all by himself. He receives sinners. Aren't you glad? Aren't you joyful that at one point when you were in your sin that Jesus came along and said, "Hey, I want you. I want you. I want to dine with you. I want to live with you. Open the door of your life. Let me come in and let me sup with you. Let me eat with you. Let me fellowship with you." He told them this parable. Verse 4, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and he goes after the one which is lost and he looks for that lost one until he finds it?" Don't you like that? He's going to look for you until he finds you. Just quit hiding from him. Some of you are hiding from him. And he's after you like the hound of heaven. And it's time, folks. It's time to be found by him. It's time to see the life of God just come flowing in your life. This man goes, he finds it. The scripture says he lays it on his shoulder and he rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends, his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I tell you that in the same way, there'll be more joy in heaven. Watch. Over one sinner who is repentant and repenting than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Isn't that interesting? 99 over here doing what they're supposed to do. One over here makes his way, makes his bed, he lies in it. It's his fault. The reason why he's lost is simply all because he chose to do it. And yet what does he do? He reads these 99 and he runs after you and me and he embraces us and he puts you on his shoulders and he walks you back and he says, "Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. I tell you the truth," he says. All of heaven is rejoicing over one sinner who's repenting. And over 99 who don't need it. Folks, I want to ask you, does this bring you joy? I think that we're sometimes so busy in this life that we don't see the joy of Jesus. I would tell you, seeing sinners converted made you the most joyful person in this life, we'd have to have 5 services. If that made us so happy, I mean, we're a people that try to run after happiness, don't we? Aren't we a people that try to find the joy? I mean, come on, you've chased after money, you've chased after stuff, you've chased after relationships. You've done all this work so that you might be content and happy, and you know that that doesn't bring the happiness. And if there's one thing that we know, that if this brought joy to us as it is brought in heaven, we would need 5 services. Because we'd be running after what makes Jesus joyful. Let's just be honest. Some of us need to repent that we don't find the same kind of joy that Christ finds. Just repent of it. Something else makes him happy. When we see the work of God, when your eyes are opened, that makes Jesus happy. When people understand the gospel, when they understand life, when they come to understand who he is and what he's done and what he's doing, there is a joy in Christ. Notice in chapter 10, verse 17, says that the 70 returned with joy. Who are the 70? They were sent out by God, sent out by Christ to the lost sheep of Israel. They were to go cast out demons. They were to go and proclaim the kingdom of God. They were to proclaim the peace of God to the people that they stayed with. They were to proclaim the kingdom of God has come near you. They were to heal those who were sick. They were to raise up the paralytics. They were to walk in the miracle power of God. And the 70 returned in verse 17 with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." That's what we rejoice in. We rejoice that we are his, that we know him, not because of some great spiritual victory. Yes, that brings us happiness, but that's not the source of your joy. Because we know from Matthew chapter 7 that even the enemy can imitate victory. "Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. Lord, Lord, we cast out demons, perform miracles in your name." And Jesus will say, "Depart from me. I never authorized you to do that. You've been walking in iniquity. I've never authorized those things in your life. I've never known you. Folks, the enemy can imitate that kind of stuff. That's why we don't rejoice. At that very time, verse 21, he rejoiced greatly. Now, I almost threw my back out in early service, but you got to watch this one, okay? Because literally, to greatly rejoice in this original language means he did something like this. Yeah, wasn't that great? Spin. Only time I've done that is a football game. And twice today. Amen. Boy, we can get so excited, jump up and down, hoot and holler, get hoarse, because our favorite team's winning. Well, we can just get so excited about all the things of this life and this world and chase after these things. And folks, I want to tell you, we've all come up short. I'll never forget sitting on the 50-yard line of a TCU game and an SMU game, cheering for TCU. Folks, I'm a LSU fan. And this TCU team is scoring, and me and my friend are jumping up and down, and we're hugging each other, and we're slapping high five. And I sit down and I think, what in the world are you doing? What in the world are you doing? Well, I'm having fun. I'm cheering for the team. Folks, I want to tell you something. There's a greater team here, and it's the kingdom of God, and that is something to get excited about. What is your joy? When we finally get it, he says this, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you did hide these things from the wise and intelligent, and you did reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal it. Notice what he says, Lord, I am rejoicing greatly because you've revealed that their names are recorded in heaven. You have revealed to them that they have the authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You have revealed the plan and the work of God in their lives, and for this I'm going to jump up and down and clap for the glory of God. What makes you happy? What makes you joyful? The things that make our God happy is when one sinner repents and we finally see the work of God. You know, when you go to the Scripture, you see that the whole kingdom of God is about the joy of the Lord. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Kingdom of God's not eating and drinking. That's not where you find your joy. Kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit. It's the joy of God that describes the kingdom of God by living a righteous life and walking in peace with our God and with one another. That's where the joy comes from. The joy comes from many ways in Scripture that you and I can walk in this absolute total joy. Joy comes from hearing God's voice. I want to tell you, you've heard me say this before, and we talked about the Word of God and how it brings us such joy. Turn to Isaiah chapter 30, if you would. Isaiah chapter 30. See, the kingdom of God's not eating and drinking. Because we don't live by bread alone. We live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I just want to say this, as I've said before, in days and even years past, you know, if you would plan your day around partaking of the Word of God like you do your meals, I want to tell you, you'd be more than born again, folks. You'd be more than that. You'd find life, and you'd find it every single day of your life, and you'd never miss. You'd never miss a meal. I mean, you would find just this great joy in absolutely, totally consuming the Word of God and consuming His life. You know, the Scripture says in verse 15, thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and trust, that's your strength. But He says, you weren't willing. And you said, no, we're not going to walk this way. We're going to flee on horses. Therefore you will flee, and we will ride on swift horses. Therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one man. You shall flee at the threat of five, until you are left as a flag on a mountaintop and as a signal on the hill. Therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He's waiting on high to have compassion for you. For thus the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who are longing for Him. Have you ever asked, God, where are you? Where is God? Where was God when this was all happening?
I cried out to God. I prayed to God. I did all this. Where is God?
Well, I want to tell you, God is a God longing to be gracious to you. He's waiting on you. He's wanting to have compassion on you. And the question is, are you longing for Him? Or are you just long for Him when it is convenient for you or when it's inconvenient in this world? There's this longing that He says that we're to walk in, this longing that we're supposed to have for Him. Do you have that longing today? Do you have the longing for the things of God? Oh, people in Zion, inhabitant in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry, and He hears it. He will answer you. Although the Lord has given you bread of privation and water of oppression, He, your teacher, will no longer hide Himself. But your eyes will behold your teacher, and your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or to the left. You know what, folks? You have a great opportunity. We have a great opportunity to get up every morning and to hear the word of God behind us. This is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. Now, I love this passage of Scripture. I've loved it for years. This week, it became very real to me. It became very real to me on bill day, okay? Writing your bills. How many have 1 day, 2 days, 3 days of writing bills? You know, spreading them out so you'll make it, right? Well, I have 1 day I write the bills. And I knew the day was coming, and I wasn't too happy about it. Wasn't too pleased about it. You know, like so many of us, these are rough times. These are economic times. It's hard. It's hard raising kids. And, you know, just to be honest with you, when I think about writing bills, I can get depressed. Can you? Okay, yeah, okay. Can y'all relate? And you know, this verse came to mind. I had this conviction in my heart, in my spirit, that I had not allowed the Word of God to speak to me and speak into my finances by saying, this is the way, walk in it. Totally ignored, totally looked the other way when it came to planning financially. Yeah, gave the tithe, would give that, but everything else, you know, I gave my tithe, everything else is mine. Well, no, it isn't. And I just want to tell you, I woke up with a pit in my stomach. This verse came along, and I specifically heard God. I specifically heard the Word of God. And it was just so clear, this is what I want you to do this month. And I want to tell you, it wasn't doing it that brought the joy as much as just I heard the Word of God. And I did what He called me to do. Talked with John Ann about it. And then I said, this is what I feel like we're going to do. And we did it. Did it. And I tell you, circumstances hadn't changed a whole lot since Bill Day. But I want to tell you, the joy of the Lord has become my strength. It has become the strength of my life. There's this joy that we can have in our marriages, in our lives, of just saying, God, You have a word for us in this area. And I want to hear the word. I want to hear it so that I can walk in the way of the word of God. Folks, all of us in this room know what it's like to walk after the carton. We know what it's like to walk after our own minds, after our own desires. Has it ever, ever brought the joy of God? No. But when I walk according to the principles of God's Word, when I hear the voice that says, this is the way, walk in it. When I see the picture, walk in it. Been doing this in counseling lately. Some of you have been participants of this in the counseling room, where you've asked the question, what am I supposed to do now? Where am I supposed to go from here? What am I supposed to do as a result of this message, of this word? God, what am I supposed to do? And what I'm doing in these days, I'm saying, let's just stop and let's just ask God. And that's what I want to do right now. I want to have a counseling session with 500 people. Can we do that right now? Let's do that. I want you to bow in prayer with me, okay? What's the need? What's the struggle? Where do you need to hear God? Okay? That's the first thing. What do I do now, God? Would you ask Him? Lord, show me right now, in this circumstance, in my life, what am I supposed to do next? Speak to me, Lord. I'm listening. Lord, I believe that You're speaking right now. I believe, Lord, that we have all brought things to this room today. That, Lord, that we don't know what to do. But we're asking right now, Lord, what's the next step? What do You desire for me? And, Lord, I know that there's some here who've got a clear picture. Some of them got it in color, and I thank You for that. Some heard the small, still voice. But nevertheless, Lord, no matter how we received it today, that you've spoken in many lives. In just this moment, I pray for the joy of the Lord today as having heard your voice. And I pray that, Father, each of us would get up from this place today and run to do what we've just seen. And I want to thank you, Lord, and I want to bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you this question. You don't need to show your hands, but did you see something? Did God show you Himself? Did God reveal something to you? Did God speak to your heart? Folks, if He hadn't, maybe you need to keep going on in prayer. Because I want to tell you, that's how God wants to operate in your life. He wants to operate in such a way that He brings the joy of the Lord through the Word of God. You know, when you look at this word joy, it means cheerfulness. It means possessing a calm delight. You know, it's not always necessarily just that excitement that we talked about earlier, but it's that tranquil feeling of contentment and happiness. And it's not just my joy, it's God's joy. And it always comes from hearing the Word of God. I'm often reminded of John the Baptist. When John the Baptist said this, when Jesus' popularity was growing, His disciples spoke to Him about it. He says this in John 3:29, "He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears Him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And so this joy of mine has been made full." What's interesting about this is that John was joyful at the voice of God, even in his womb. In Luke chapter 1, verse 44, it says this, that when Mary came to visit Elizabeth, they were both pregnant. Elizabeth had John in her womb, and Mary had Jesus. And Mary had come to the home, and the Scripture says that when Mary came in and greeted, Elizabeth praised God, and she said, "For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb." He leaped in my womb. John the Baptist leaping for the joy of the voice of God. I want to ask you, does this make you joyful? Or are you so concerned about the things of this world and the things of this life that the enemy has come and he's stolen your joy? You know, Christ has said, "Lord, my joy is not just for me. My joy is for the church. And I want my joy in them. And I want it full in them." I mean, this is the heartbeat of God. It's the heartbeat of heaven. It's the joy of heaven to see you joyful in Him, opening the gifts of God and walking in those gifts and experiencing those gifts of peace and life and glory. Joy comes from hearing God's voice. Will you open your ears to Him? Will you open your heart to Him? Joy comes not only from hearing God's voice, it comes from genuine fellowship. John 15:11 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be made in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment," here it is, "that you love one another as I have loved you." Joy comes from genuine fellowship. 1 John 1:3-4 just simply says, "We're writing these things so that you may share in our fellowship, so that our joy may be made full." That word also means complete. And here's the idea, folks, that your joy is never complete unless it's being experienced in the body of Christ. Did you hear that? Your joy is never complete unless it is in the process and the connection of the local body. Genuine fellowship. Folks, if you're not connected, if you're not fellowshipping, you are robbing God and the church, because the church needs your fellowship. We need one another. We need you. You are needed for the completion of the joy of the body of Christ. Will I walk in that kind of belief? I'm not talking about getting busy. I'm talking about absolute total fellowshipping with one another. I'm not talking about cookies and punch on a Sunday evening. I'm talking about intimate, growing fellowship with the body of Christ. If you're not doing that, you're not a joyful Christian. You don't have the fullness of the joy of the Lord, because our joy is made full when we love one another as Christ has loved us. Joy comes from answered prayer. John 16:23 says, "In that day you'll ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, He will give it to you in my name. Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive." Why? That your joy may be made full. Joy comes from giving liberally. Joy comes from giving liberally. In 2 Corinthians 8:1-5, some very poverty-stricken Christians took a collection and said, "Paul, will you pass by this way? Because we're begging you. We want to be a part of this offering. We want to give." Paul says they gave, and they gave liberally. They gave liberally. I'm believing today, I believe that the reason why most Christians aren't happy is because they don't give liberally. I just believe this. The reason why there's no joy in our lives is because we're not giving liberally. We have the giver of all gifts residing in us. It's the seed of God. It's the seed of the giver. Church, if that seed is in us and living and abiding, you can't help but give liberally. You can't help but say, where do I give next? What am I going to give next? And it's just like, God, what am I going to be able to give next? How am I going to do it? Folks, it's this joy that comes from this giving of your life, giving of your resources, giving of your finances. Joy comes from giving liberally. He said in the churches in Macedonia that they gave with such great joy that joy came out of them. It just came out of them because of their liberal giving. Joy comes from children walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, John said, than to hear of my children walking in the truth. Youth, students, if your parents love the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest joy you'll ever give them is walking in the truth. It's the greatest joy. It's the greatest gift that you could ever give to a godly parent or a parent that wants to be godly and walk after him. It's children walking in the truth of God. And then finally, joy, just the bottom line, comes from a life with Christ. Turn to Isaiah 9, 1 through 7, and we'll close with this morning. Isaiah chapter 9. The whole essence of the life of Christ and the joy of Christ is that it is found in Him and in Him alone. Chapter 9, verse 1. When Christ comes in your life, guess what, gang? There's no more gloom. How many of you have been walking in gloom? You've been walking in gloom? You got to check, see if Jesus is there or not. If you've been walking in gloom, now I'm not talking about it. Sometimes you have the blues, sometimes you're a little down, we're still in the flesh, but if that's characteristic of your life, you're walking in gloom, you better check and see who's living in you. You better check. Because the Bible says there'll be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. You in anguish today? In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, with contempt. Feeling a little contempt right now? A little anguish? Listen, he says later on, he's going to make it glorious by the way of the sea. He's going to come into your life and make his way glorious in your life. On the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, those people over there who walk in darkness are going to see a great light. And those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. And you're going to multiply the nation. And you're going to, here it is, you're going to increase their gladness. You're going to multiply their gladness. In other words, folks, it's just not a little gladness ad. You get multiplied gladness, he says. The scripture says it's going to be so wonderful that they're going to be glad in your presence as with the gladness of the harvest, as when men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you'll break the yoke of their burden and the staff of their shoulders and the rod of their oppressor at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult, the cloak rolled in blood will be for burning fuel for the fire. It will no longer be an instrument of warfare. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of his government or no end to the increase of his peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on forevermore. And who will accomplish this gladness? Who will accomplish this joy? Who will accomplish this peace? Who will accomplish this spiritual warfare victory? It'll be the zeal of the Lord of hosts. Will accomplish it. Not maybe, not if, not what, not when. It is He will do it. He will accomplish this in your life. Folks, you can walk from this place today in the full joy of God because our great God 2,000 years ago in a garden prayed this for you and for me. Folks, don't walk from this place not embracing this word. You can walk in the joy of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.